You know, words really are important, aren't they? There's things we need to hear, things we need to say, words that speak truth into our life, words that make a difference in who we are. Have you ever heard about the most important words? Somebody reminded me last week, in fact, of the very first statement of this, and I just said, you're going to like my sermon Sunday. Let me remind you of some of the most important words that you can say. Are you ready? The six most important words. I admit I made a mistake. The five most important words. You did a good job. The four most important words. What is your opinion? The three most important words. If you please. The two most important words. Thank you. The one most important word, we. And the least important word of all, I. That's good, isn't it? That's good advice for living. We can take that stuff and use it. But they're only advice. They're not scripture. These are not things God tells us to do. They're things that God gives us the wisdom to do. But I took that same pattern as I was thinking over this message, and I applied that same pattern to Romans 5:8. It's not exactly perfect, but it does reveal some of the most important words in the Bible. Are you ready? The six words, but God demonstrates his own love. The five words, toward us, in that while. The four words, we were still sinners. And then two sets of two words. Christ died for us. That's good, isn't it? That is scripture. That is truth. I was thinking about words as I was preparing this morning's message and talking about if Jesus is Lord. And today I want to talk about what Jesus had to say about his own lordship. Last week, you remember, we went into the Old Testament, explored the book of Isaiah, and discovered what the Old Testament had to say about the lordship of Jesus Christ. This morning, I want us to go to the Gospels, particularly the Gospel of Luke, the passage we read together this morning, and discover what Jesus declared about himself as Lord of all. And it can be summed up in two words. What did Jesus say? Follow me. Follow me. That's where lordship begins and ends. When Jesus talks to us about the process of following him as Lord, trusting him as Savior, living for him as a believer, it all comes down to follow me. Jesus was absolutely comfortable claiming lordship for himself. It's how he called Matthew. It's how he called the fishermen. It was even the uncompromising call that he offered to people like the rich young ruler who would not listen and trust him. It's the call he continues to extend today. If you choose to become a Christian, you choose to hear him say, follow me. One of the things that we have to understand when we're thinking about Jesus and we're thinking about lordship is that Jesus absolutely made that claim upon your life and upon mine. One of the things that I think we have to understand if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ is that he never said, follow what I'm teaching you to do. He never said, obey and trust my example. He never said, I'll give you a good option among many. Jesus was absolutely comfortable looking people in the eye and simply saying to them, you follow me. I demand that you follow me with your life. If you choose to follow him, then he calls you to put your life at his disposal and to become what he calls you to be. It is a call to serious obedience. Follow me. What does it mean in your life this morning? I want us to look together at this confrontation between Jesus and Levi, or Jesus as we usually refer to him, as Matthew, and discover exactly what happened in his life, because in Luke chapter 5, Jesus answers the question for us all. No matter what stage of our lives or whatever we are facing, what do we have to do if we hear him say, follow me? So let me share just a few things with you this morning that you need to know, not from me, but from the Lord Jesus himself. And the first thing you need to know is this: follow me is a personal call. The picture that Luke paints is a compelling one to me. Here is Matthew, who has this life-changing encounter with Jesus. And yet, as best we can tell, reading the Gospels, he had no idea that was what was coming. There he was, going about his daily business. He got up that morning at the same old time, ate the same old thing for breakfast, probably fish and bread. Went to work, picked up right where he'd left off yesterday. His life was a life of dull routine. Same old, day in and day out. When you're a tax collector, you know what you're going to do every day. You're going to sit at your table. People are going to have to come line up before you. They're going to have to give you the money that the empire requires from them. And then they call your names and walk their way. And that's what his day was like. Every day he sat down at a table. Every day he collected revenues for the kingdom, for the empire. And every day he recognized nobody liked him and nobody liked what he stood for. And then suddenly there was that day in his life when he was sitting at his table, and there he was, Jesus of Nazareth. The Bible doesn't tell us whether the two of them had ever met before. It doesn't tell us whether Matthew had ever stopped somewhere on his way from one place to another to listen to what Jesus was saying, to hear the things Jesus was teaching. It doesn't tell us whether Matthew had ever talked to anybody else about what it meant to follow Jesus. All we know is the day came in his life when he was sitting right there minding his own business, and all of a sudden Jesus looked him right in the eye and said to him, follow me. Two words. He never said, hello, Matthew, my name is Jesus. Matthew, tell me about your life. Matthew, let's get to know one another. Matthew, to have time for lunch. Instead, he intruded right into his life, and he simply said to him, you follow me. All the Bible tells us is that the day came when Matthew responded to the call of Jesus, and that his challenge was to Matthew alone. When Jesus came to him where he was collecting those taxes, when he came in the midst of all of the business that he was doing, Jesus didn't say to the other tax collectors, to the people lined up to pay their revenues, he didn't say to them, y'all gather around here because I've got a special message and everybody needs to hear this. He said, Matthew, follow me. You follow me. There was no doubt in Matthew's mind that he had been singled out by Jesus of Nazareth, that he had been singled out to have his life absolutely transformed. And he followed Jesus. Now, why is that important? It's important because I believe in every person's life, at least one time, there is a Matthew moment. In every person's life, there comes that time when you have a heart-to-heart, face-to-face encounter with Jesus, when you know he is calling your name. Now, understand something. I'm not saying that you may hear it audibly, but you'll hear it here. And there'll be no doubt in your mind, that's who it is, and he's talking to you. And in everybody's life, there come those Matthew moments, a time when you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, Jesus is speaking right to your heart. That's what happens at salvation. Every time we have someone who comes and is baptized in that pool, every time we have someone who comes and makes a profession of faith, it is because they had a personal encounter with Christ. Because they had a saving moment when they heard Jesus call their name and they said yes. And that's one of the most important Matthew moments you can ever have. But it by no means is that the only time. There are other times when you have those Matthew encounters with Jesus. When he says to you, follow me, and you know exactly what that means. For some of us who have been called apart to special kinds of service, we understand that call to follow me. It's my personal experience, and I would assume with some others that are among your ministry staff. I know some of the stories. We didn't set out early on in life to say, I want to be in ministry. Joe, I know you wanted to be an astronaut. Nathan, God kind of called you in the midst of things when you thought you were just here to play the piano. And in my life, I was the last person anybody ever imagined would call to ministry, would come to ministry. And God said, follow me. It was a Matthew moment. You do what I want you to do. But that's not the only time either. It's not just salvation, and it may not be a call of vocational ministry, but there are those times, and you've experienced some of those times in your own life, when you knew, this is what God wants me to do. Amy, you've got a ladies' Bible study starting this coming Tuesday night. Supposed to start it last Tuesday night. Why did you decide to pull that group together? Because God called. It was a Matthew moment. Not only did he say this needs to happen, he also said, and you're the one to do it, right? That's exactly what I mean. There are those times in our lives when we recognize God is calling me to do something new. We ordained Brandon just a couple of weeks ago. Went to him a year ago and said, Brandon, we've really been talking, and we think God's ready to set you apart to serve as a deacon in our church. And he said, you know, I've prayed about that in case it happened, and I've thought about it, and God hasn't set his time yet. But this year, it was time, wasn't it? Those are Matthew moments in your life when God speaks to you, and he speaks to you very personally, and he says, this is what I want to do with your life, and you know exactly what it is. And you know exactly what it would mean to do what God is telling you to do. You just have to make the decision, will I obey? It happens when you begin to talk about being more than the same old, and to follow Jesus. It is a personal call. But that's not all. Jesus also said, follow me because it's the only way. That phrase, follow me, can be more literally translated to walk the same way. In other words, Jesus was saying to Matthew, you walk the way I am walking. He calls us to do the best we can to step into his footsteps. When Jesus said, follow me, that doesn't mean stay in my same general vicinity. It means I am Lord. You follow where I lead. I will step out and you will follow. Follow me. How important is it that our steps look like Jesus? It could make all the difference. During the Korean conflict, a platoon of soldiers were making their way across a field, and they got about halfway across and made a horrifying discovery. They discovered they had walked right into the middle of a minefield. And each one of them froze because they recognized that death could be in any direction. That one wrong step would mean that that the mine would explode and their lives would be taken away. And they stood there trying to figure out what to do, and then finally the lieutenant made a decision. He said, everybody, follow me. Put your feet in the snow prints that I am leaving behind. And I'll lead as far as I can. And when I step on a mine and my life is gone, then, Sergeant, you step forward, you take my place, and you lead the way. Everybody, put your feet exactly where the man in front of you has been. Hopefully, some of us will survive. Miraculously, they all made it out, but they all made it out because they stepped exactly where they were supposed to be. How important is it that we make the commitment to follow Jesus? The Bible says it's as important as eternal life and everlasting death. See, Here's the thing that Jesus says about his own lordship. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Understand what he was saying. He was giving a great promise, but he was also giving an eternal warning. He was saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you're trying to find your way to heaven, I'm it. If you're trying to find a way to be right with God, it's me. If you're trying to find direction and peace and hope for your life, here I am. But he also said this, and there's no other way. No man comes to the Father except by me. And you know, from time to time, you hear a lot of people around you say, well, you know, you follow your way and you do what you think is right, and I'll follow my way and I'll do what I think is right. And as long as all of us are doing what we think is right, then we'll all make it to heaven someday. The only way you can be right when you say that is for Jesus Christ to be wrong. Because he's the one who said, no man comes to the Father except through me. There's nothing more important you can do with your life than to let Jesus be the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. And then Jesus said, follow me. It will be a life-changing experience. Here's one of the most incredible things about what Matthew did in response to what Jesus said to him. The Lord challenged him, follow me. And he just did it. He just did it. How many of you were surprised this morning as we were reading Scripture together when it was such a short passage? Just a few sentences and then we were done. Why is that? It's because Jesus called and Matthew responded. The Bible says he left all, rose up, and followed him. What an incredible response. We can read that in the Bible and it makes all kinds of sense because we look backwards and we say, well, of course he did. That was Jesus. Matthew didn't know that. All he knew was this person standing before him was speaking words that came right from God to his life. And when Jesus said, follow me, he got up and he went. From that moment, his life would never be the same again. He had no clue what was going to happen next. What do we know about what happened to Matthew? We know this. Jesus called him to follow him. We know that that night Matthew had a party and he invited everybody he knew to come and meet Jesus. And the next day, he hit the road and he followed Jesus. Wherever he needed to go, whatever he needed to do, he was where Jesus led him to be. Every day was an adventure because he had no clue where God might lead. I think about that sometimes when I think about how routine our own Christian lives can be sometimes. You know, sometimes you can get bored with the kind of Christianity that we're tempted to practice. We reduce following Jesus to spending a couple of hours at church, doing a few things that we think we're supposed to do, when we know it's supposed to be so much more. He wants us to have something that is so life-shaking that we will never be the same again. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is one of those times when Jesus confronted the crowds with the truth, and many of them just disappeared into the night. They wanted nothing to do with the demands Jesus was making on their lives. And he turned around to his disciples and he said, what about you? Are you going to go? And Peter, speaking for them all, said, where are we going to go? You're the only one with the words of eternal life. Where am I going to go if I turn away from you? Where is there to go? Everything I need, I find in you. And I think that's the way the Lord wants us to live our lives every day. Everything I need, Lord, I find in you. Every direction I take, Lord, I find it from you. Every decision I make, Lord, you help me make it. It's all about you. You are Lord. It's kind of like a normal Christian life is supposed to be kind of like swimming. You know what I mean? I mean, when you're little, the kiddie pool is great. It seems like it's the size of an ocean, and you're glad to be there. But there comes that time when you get a little older, and it's just not enough. You see that big pool over there, and all you want to do is get in the big pool. So you finally reach that day where they let you leave the kiddie pool, and you go and you jump in the big pool. But you have to stay in the shallow end, which is fine with you when you first go, because you know the shallow end at that point comes up to about here, and that's about as deep as you ever want to be. And so for a while, you're happy splashing around in the shallow end. But then you begin to look out there at the deep end, where the big kids are. And you begin to think about, what must it be like? And finally the time comes when you get all your courage together and you just take the leap and you jump in the deep end. And for the first time in your life, you can't touch bottom. And you have to learn, how do you make it in the deep end? But when you're in the deep end, you never think back to the shallow end. And when you're in the shallow end, you never look back at the kiddie pool. You're always going deeper. And that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do as we follow him. Always go deeper. Always go into that place where you can't touch bottom. Always go deep enough that you got to depend on him. Keep moving forward as you trust the Lord. Even if, like Matthew, it means leaving things behind. Even if you don't know exactly what's going to happen next. Even if nobody else is going with you. Because here's the thing. It is only when we let go of the things we've held on tightly that we can receive everything he wants to give us. And I think for some of us, because we've been so safe and so careful, and we've been really cautious about really allowing him to be Lord, because it's been that way, the Lord looks down and he says, I've got blessings for you. I've got things I want to do with you. I've got things I want to do for you. Here's the blessings. Receive them. And we say, Lord, I can't. I can't. I'm hanging on too tight. I'd rather keep the familiar. I'm a little worried about the unknown. And he says, let go. Follow me. One last thing this morning. Follow me. The call of Jesus is a daily commitment. There's something you need to know about the call that Jesus made on Matthew's life. It was expressed in the Greek present tense. That means the Lord was calling Matthew to make a beginning decision and then keep making that decision every day. Follow me was not a one-time event in Matthew's life. Follow me became a lifestyle that he followed. And every day he had to make the decision, today I will follow Jesus. In every person's life, the Lord was calling Matthew to make a beginning decision. Keep making that decision, because in every person's life, there are two decisions that are more important than any other. The first decision is this: what will I do with Jesus? Goes back to, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There comes that point where everybody has to decide, what am I going to do with Jesus? If Jesus radically declares himself to be Lord, if Jesus radically challenges you to follow him, if you have to decide it will be his way or no way at all, what are you going to do about it? What will I do with Jesus? Will I accept him? Will I reject him? And then the second question, just as important. What will I do with Jesus today? What will I do with Jesus today as a believer, as a follower, because he lives in my life, because I have trusted him with my eternity? What will I do with Jesus today? Because every day you decide, will this be your day or the Lord's day? Will I claim this for myself? Or will I surrender and follow him? That's where you get to answer the question, What does God want me to do? Usually when we ask that question, we want big visions of what the future holds. What does the Lord want me to do? We think, well, the Lord wants me to do big, earth-shaking things. He wants me to do magnificent things that the world will stand back in awe and watch. But most of the time, what God wants us to do is make every day something we offer to Him. What does the Lord want me to do? The Lord wants me to follow Him. And He will decide what that means every day. So the question I ask you today is simply this. If Jesus claims to be Lord, and He does, if Jesus' call on your life is, follow me, and it is, what does it mean? In your specific life, at this specific time, how do you follow Jesus? For some here today, the answer to that question is, I need to follow Him by trusting Him as my Savior. I need to lay my life down at His feet and follow Him. And maybe today you're not a Christian. You've never made that decision. You've never decided to follow Jesus. Before you leave today, you need to make that decision. You need to know your life is right with Christ. And if it's not, today is the day to call Him Lord and to follow Him daily. Maybe you're here today and the answer to what does the Lord want me to do has to do with becoming part of a church where God's going to love you. Maybe you're here as a Christian and you're looking for that place where you can grow in the Word and fellowship with God's people and learn more about what it means to follow Jesus. And it may even be the Lord is saying to you, First Baptist Church is the place He wants to plant you so you can serve Him and follow Him. Maybe you're here as a believer, and God is speaking a special word to you, a personal word to you, but it calls for a specific response. Maybe there's something He's calling you forward so that you can answer that call. Is there something God wants you to do? Just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our hymn of invitation. It'll be your opportunity to simply say yes. When Jesus says, follow me. Is there something you need to do? Is there a decision you need to make? If there is, as we stand and we sing, I'll be here at the front, Rich will be here at the front, we would both love to talk to you about what God is saying to your spirit. Will you come? Let's stand together. Let's sing.
Jesus is Savior.